Welcome to The Perfect Place for Imperfect People. This is the Local Church Podcast, and we hope this message both challenges and encourages you. Here's today's message.
Merry Christ Mass, the celebration of the Christ meaning the one who is set apart, the anointed one, the one who has been set apart to save us. I'm Eric, I'm one of the pastors here, and I love Christmas time. Does anyone here love Christmas time like me? See, I believe you, because first service, they just quietly lifted up their hands. You made noise. Now, let's be honest, perfect place for imperfect people. How many of you here, you don't love Christmas time? You kind of just tolerate it. You endure Christmas time. No one. Wow, this can be the best service ever, unless some of you are lying. And the reason some of you are lying is because the person that you're married with or sitting next to or in your family, they love Christmas time and they would cut your throat if you raise your hand in opposition to it. Listen, I love this season. I love the remembrance that Christ has come, that Jesus is our Savior, that he lived, died, and rose again so that we could be set free as imperfect and sinful as we are. I love that reminder about Christmas time, but what I want to admit to you in fear of persecution from some of you, I'm still willing to do it, is that I don't care for the rest of the stuff around Christmas. We've made Christmas more about the moss than about the one who has been set apart and sent down to set us free. And all that extra, all that moss, I'm not a big fan of. Listen, I love that Christmas is celebrated big time in our culture. I love we get a whole month, and for some of you, you know, 6 weeks and 8 weeks, and when it's October, some of you, you're already looking for Christmas decorations. I love that when the majority of people participate in something, the celebration is monumental. It's just all that extra stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, we decorate our homes with cartoon characters and fall and winter motifs. We play Mariah Carey nonstop for at least 24 days. We put on the oldies, and the only music playing in our home is songs about Christmas and Santa Claus. We theme everything with the prefix Christmas. There are Christmas cards and Christmas pajamas and Christmas hams and Christmas parties. A few years ago, I heard in Miami Beach there was a Christmas foam rave. Like, what does any of that have to do with Jesus? Nothing, nada. It's not about Christ, it's about the moss. And at the sake of sounding churchy, the reality is we've forgotten the reason for this season. And so here at the local church, we're not ashamed to say Merry Christmas. We're not ashamed to celebrate the coming of Emmanuel, God being with us, the Son of God, Jesus. And over the next several weeks, as we look towards Christmas, I want to help us remember and refocus on the reason for the season. We're in this teaching series called Christ or Moss, and we're going to put our attention on Christ, not on all the extras. Are you with me? A few weeks ago, we celebrated my daughter's 9th birthday, and because it was in the Thanksgiving break, we didn't have a big party. A lot of people were out of town, so my daughter just invited a handful of her friends, and we went to the movie theater to go watch Trolls 3. It was a fun movie. We laughed. We sang, brought back remembrance of all the boy bands of old, and then after the movie, I'm there in the lobby with all these girls and my wife informs me she has to go to a baby shower. I'm like, oh, so you're leaving me with all these little 8 and 9-year-old girls. Great. That's going to be fun. And so I'm like, I don't know what to do. My daughter says, Dad, I already told everyone what we're going to do. We're going to go to Claire's. See, I hear all the women like, is that a thing? Is that what girl, Claire's? She's like, Dad, they're having a sale. We're going to save money. I'm like, no. No, my little daughter, she's been captured by the consumerism already. She's already 9 years old and already doing girl math in her head. What do you mean we're going to save money? I don't want to spend money. And so we get there, and all these little kids, they're grabbing stuff off the shelf saying, can you pay for this? Can you pay for this? Can you buy this for me? I'm like, oh, I'm the one that's to pay for all. Really? This is my responsibility? And if they would have grabbed like a $2.99 packet of gum or like a, you know, one of those little cylinders with the plastic toy inside, I would have been fine. I'm not making this up. They were grabbing $25 makeup kits and $20 earrings. Buy this for me. Buy this for me. Will you get this for me? And I'm thinking in my head, it's not your birthday. Why am I going to buy you something? Now, let me ask, am I wrong for thinking that? I didn't say it. I should have said it. But am I wrong for thinking that?
No.
Right? The person whose birthday it is should get the gifts, not everyone else. But we do that at Christmas, don't we? We search and buy and spend all of this money on gifts for other people when it's whose birthday we're celebrating. We've made it more about the moss than we have about celebrating the birth of our Savior. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him, "Más es no bueno." Do you entiendo? Do you understand what I'm saying? All the extra is not good. So again, as we head into this month, I want us to remember and refocus on the reason for the season, on Christ, on Jesus this Christmas. And here's what can happen when we do so. Our peace will rise. Our gratitude and generosity towards others will grow. Our purpose and His purpose for us will become primary in our lives, and the people around us can experience the outpouring of all the goodness of God in and through our lives. And the greatest gift that God wants to give, the presence of God, God with us, people around us can experience and be transformed forever. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, that's what Christmas is about. Here and at home, turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. It'll be up there on the screen. You can follow along with me. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria," verse 3, "and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered while Mary, his betrothed, who was with child." Verse 6, "And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." Verse 8, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all,'" say all "the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, a Christ who is the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." Now, what we just read may not be unfamiliar to you. It is the Christmas story. It is the beginning of the greatest story ever told. And this isn't just the beginning of what is read in a Christmas pageant or on a television special in December. This is the beginning of a true story of God's great love for us. It begins. We see the place, the setting of this story, Luke 2:1. Let's read those three words together. It says, "In those days." This is talking about a time. And when we talk about time, it's hard to talk about time and God because God doesn't exist in time. He is set apart from time. He is eternal. He transcends time. He always has. He always will. But in this story of God, His plan to save the world, He steps in to a very specific time and place. And through specific events, He is orchestrating His good plan to save all people. He steps in and through very specific details, this sovereign God is working everything according to his will. And what this shows us is God, he orchestrates the miraculous and the unbelievable and the supernatural to a very specific degree. Here's what I want you to write down. God uses the common, coincidental, and mundane moments in life as a context for the miraculous. Let me say that again. God uses the common, the coincidental and mundane, the small little moments in life as a context for the miraculous. Every little thing that God does is a setup for what he wants to do, how he wants to set people free, how he wants to give people a breakthrough. The little mundane moments, the small conversations you have, a simple Merry Christmas, an invite to someone who is on the edge can lead to their eternal destination and destiny of being set free and saved through Jesus Christ. God uses every little detail as a context for the miraculous. And we see this again in this story, Luke 2:1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Caesar wasn't acting on behalf of God. Caesar didn't even believe that there was a Messiah sent from God or that he was coming. Neither did Quirinius. They weren't doing what they were doing because God told them to do so, because they believed they were acting out God's plan. They did so because it's what they wanted to do. They did so because it was an expectation of their occupation. A census was not an uncommon thing. Caesar wanted to count up all of his people so he knew how much he could tax them. Typical government, right? Hashtag, thanks, Caesar. This was just a common thing. It wasn't coincidental. Here's what I want you to hear today, here and at home. There is no such thing as a coincidence in the kingdom of God. No such thing. Every opportunity is because God has opened up that door. He's active and present and proactive in our lives. Every shut door, every job you didn't get, every challenge you face, God is sovereign over all of that. There is no coincidence. God is working all things together, right? And in this story, there is no coincidence that Joseph is from Bethlehem. It is no coincidence that Caesar called for this. It is no coincidence that there is an edict for everyone to go back to their place of where they were born. It's no coincidence because 700 years prior, through the prophet Micah, it says, out of you, O Bethlehem, shall come the Savior. The birth of Jesus is the result and the fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies over thousands of years. This sovereign God was working things down in very specific detail to execute his will and his plan to set humanity free. Everything was intentional. He's working every detail together just like he does in our life. God is constantly active and at work in our life. There are no coincidences. Even those of you who are watching today at home or someone invited you here in this place, all of this is God orchestrating your life and your circumstances so that you can hear his great love for you, so that you can choose to follow him and be set free and safe from all of your sins. This is God's plan, and it's intentional, and it's specific, and it happened here in this place. We read in this story God exacting his loving and perfect plan. It continues on in verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, which is the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Why? Because he was of the house and lineage of David. Is that a coincidence? No. It's God's sovereign plan coming into place. Verse 5. To be registered with Mary, his what? Betrothed. Who was with child. You know what that means? It means they weren't married. And it's important to know that they weren't married because that means she didn't have to go with him. But she went with him. It's actually curious that she actually went with him. There was no legal requirement for her to go there. But being pregnant, I'm talking 9 months pregnant and ride on the back of a donkey for several miles over several hours. What lady wants to do that? No, stay home, get pampered, get a manicure, get a massage. But she went. We don't know why she went. Maybe because she didn't want to give birth alone with Joseph not there. Maybe because of the whole teenage pregnancy thing. And we'll talk about that in weeks to come. But you have to think of the scenario. She's telling her folks, Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant. And Joseph isn't the father. In fact, we've never been intimate. Then who is it? Who's the dad? It's God. God's son is with me. Maria, no me diga nada. Mentirosa, come on. What do you mean? Maybe Joseph was all that she had left. Or maybe simply she just believed that God would do something supernatural. We don't know why she went with him, but we do know that God was working together his will in and through her life. God had a plan. God has a plan, just like God has a plan for every one of our lives. We see this in this story. Verse 6, and while they were there, the time, say time. What time? The time where Jesus, the fulfillment of God's promises, would come to pass. The time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, we've heard this story before, right? This is the beginning of the Christmas story. And we'll talk more about this story in upcoming weeks, but here's what I want you to know. Nothing changes in this story. If you're expecting something different, there's not going to be anything different. This is the greatest story ever told, and it will not change. Somebody like, well, tell us something different then. Like, I want to know something that I don't know. But has this story transformed you? No, I want to hear something that's going to make my mind go, wow, that's amazing. No, this story doesn't change. I know a lot of us, we don't know the origin of Willy Wonka, and that's why we're interested on this movie on Christmas Day. I know the origin of Jesus. I know where he came. I know he's the Son of God. Yeah, but has that story transformed your life? I believe in him. It's clever. You're talking about Moss and versus Christ. I get all that, but I already know this. But have you been left changed for good? Do you know him through this? If you've been coming to this church any point in the past 10 years, you've probably heard me talk about this. I know Rick always gets a chuckle out of it when I share it. I probably shared this 2 or 3 times in the past, but because I know this church is full of, you know, faithful followers of Jesus who have never watched this movie. I want to read a snippet of this movie called Talladega Nights. And if you're unfamiliar with this story, it's Ricky Bobby who's played by Will Ferrell. He plays a NASCAR driver. And this one scene, he's sitting down with his wife and his friend Cal and his family, and they're eating dinner, and he says grace. And it might seem a little bit irreverent for some of you, or maybe slightly offensive here at home. Just stick with me. I promise there's a point. They're all sitting at the table. And Ricky says, Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take time to thank you for my family, my two beautiful, beautiful, handsome, striking sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, or TR, as we call him, and of course, my red-hot smoking wife, Carly, who's a stone-cold fox. Dear tiny infant Jesus, we and his wife, Carly, she butts in, she says, Hey, you know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him a baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to baby. Well, I like Christmas Jesus best, and I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say to grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or whoever you want. Listen, I like the baby Jesus version the best. Do you hear me? Dear tiny Jesus, and your golden fleece diapers with your tiny, little, fat, balled-up fists. Look, I like the baby version best, you hear me? I win the races and I make the money. Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet. Just a little infant, so cuddly but still omnipotent. We just thank you for all that, the races that I've won and the $21.2 million. Love that money that I have accrued over the past season. Also, due to a binding endorsement contract that stipulates I must mention Powerade at each grace, I just want to say thank you that Powerade is delicious and cools you off on a hot summer's day, and we look forward to Powerade's release of Mystic Mountain Blueberry. Thank you for all your power and your grace. Dear baby God, amen. Now, some of you are chuckling. Some of you, you're waiting for the lightning to strike me. But as funny as this may be for some of us, I find it more familiar. I know it's a little bit over the top, but if we think about it, this is how so many of us see Jesus. We have not moved past the little baby Jesus. The only Jesus that we fix our attention on is the baby lying in a manger, sweet and cuddly, and we do not see who he really is, the Son of God, the Creator who holds all things in his hands, who's done all things to set us free. Too many of us, we stay at little baby Jesus in the manger, and we miss the anointed one, the one set apart to set us free, because we're focused on all the moss, all the extra. Perfect example is this guy we just read about, the innkeeper. Now, we don't know his name. Let's say his name's Eric. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, don't be like Eric. Why not? Because Eric missed the Christ in Christmas. The setup is that there's a census happening. Everyone has to go back to their hometown. And because Eric owns a hotel, motel, Holiday Inn, whatever it may be, there's a lot of people that are booking his hotel so that they could go through the census. And again, Mary, she is 9 months pregnant. She's about to pop. She's not willing to drive on a Cybertruck donkey over all these bumpy roads and to get there quickly. Speed and bumps and donkeys don't go well together, so they took their time. And when they got there, because they had taken so much time to get there, they knock on the door and there is no more room. He's saying, sorry, we're booked full, no vacancy. You should have used our app to reserve. Sorry, better luck next time. But my fiance, she's pregnant, can't you see? I can't do anything about it. I'm a businessman. I'm not a doctor. And he missed the greatest opportunity, not just in his history, but in the history of all mankind. I mean, think about this from a business standpoint. Think of all the business that you could have accumulated by simply saying, Jesus was born here. Forget Graceland. The King of Kings was born in my inn. He missed out on all the profits. He missed out on all the advertising, on all the newscasters coming to his place. But more than that, spiritually, what he missed out on was the opportunity to love and serve someone in need. What he missed out on spiritually was the Son of God coming to earth to set people free. He missed Christ because he was focused on all the moss. How does this benefit me? How can I profit from this? How does this affect my time? Here's my challenge for us today in this month. Turn to someone else around you. Look them in the eyes and tell them, don't miss it. They didn't believe you. Do it again. Look to them and say, don't miss it at home. Tell somebody, don't miss it. There's so much stuff around Christmas. And they're not bad. The crowds, the gifts, the gatherings, the family, none of that is bad. We participate in the other parts of the celebration. The thing is, it's not God's best for us. All the distractions, all the extra stuff is just extra stuff. It's not what Christmas is about. And when we focus on that, we miss out. So don't miss out. Take your attention off all of the extra and look towards Christ this Christmas. Write this down. Christmas is about God giving his best gift for my good and his glory. All the extra stuff, it just distracts us. But what God wants to give us is his greatest gift. And Christmas is about God giving his best gift for my good. Say my good. God does it for us. Amen. But he also does it for his glory. He wants to be revealed. He wants people to know how good of a God he is. He does. He gives his best gift for my good and his glory. And I know that doesn't make sense when we look specifically at this story. What do you mean God's best? Why a teenager? We'll talk more about this in upcoming weeks. But the fact that Jesus used an unwed teenager later on in his ministry, people made fun of Jesus and they didn't believe him because they believed that he was the result of a one-night stand. He's an illegitimate child. Joseph isn't your father. Why would Jesus allow all of this possible misinterpretation and come through an unwed teenager? Because that's his heart. God understands the misunderstood. If you've ever felt marginalized, if you've ever felt like you don't matter, Jesus understands you. This is not just why he came, this is how he came, this is what he's about. He came for our good. But he was born. Talk about glory. He was born in a feeding tray for animals. Why that? There was no celebration at his birth. There was no Instagram influencers taking selfies with Jesus and saying, oh, so awesome. I highly recommend 10 out of 10 getting millions of likes. Why no pomp? Why no circumstance? How is that glory? Why did he do that? Because he understands those who feel left out. Those who don't feel like their life is worth living. Jesus came in that way to understand and empathize and eventually set us free. Then we have the shepherds. We'll talk about them more next week. Why shepherds? I mean, seriously, like, Jesus, you could have picked a better PR firm. Use ChatGPT. That would have been better than picking the least of these. You know, shepherds, they were dirty, literally dirty, spiritually dirty. They were ceremonially unclean, which meant because they worked with animals and had to clean up their mess and had to take away all the egg sacs from all the flies that put like all their gunk around the sheep in their eyes. They could not freely come to worship without cleaning themselves. Why would Jesus use them to announce his birth? Why use these dirty, distant people to be the PR for your coming? The message is that Jesus uses the dirty. He uses the distant. He uses those who are disenfranchised, not simply to set us free, but to use us to help set other people free. Jesus came for imperfect people. That's the message of Christmas. That's the Christ of Christmas. This is who Jesus is always. And with everything going on around us, and all the dates we have in our calendar, and all the celebrations we have, you need to know that this is who Jesus is always, and he's with us right now. See, the Bible gives many names to the Son of God, and one of them is Emmanuel. Do you know what Emmanuel means? It means God is with us. He's with us right now. He's orchestrated all of this to get you into his presence. And he's not just with you right now. When you leave this place, his presence will be with you. And not just today, and not just this week, and not through this Christmas season, but always. He desires to be with you always. Not because he endures you, but because he loves you. Because he has a plan for your life, because he wants to set you free, because he wants to use you in impossible, miraculous, supernatural ways to see those that you love set free forever. This is what Christmas is about. And this is what we have to remember. On your seats when you walked in, there's a red bracelet. Can you go ahead and lift that up? Some of you are wondering, what is this? It's a red bracelet. Now, for many of you who are under 35, you may not know this, but before there was Siri, when people had to remember something, they would do so by either writing it down in a planner or putting it on a notepad on their refrigerator, or they would tie a string around their finger or their wrist to remind them. Because every time you saw it, like, what is this? This is awkward. Oh, that's right. I have to take the turkey out, or oh, I have to go to this party. I put this red bracelet on because maybe you're like me. Maybe if you're not intentional, you're quick at. It's so easy for me to forget what's important. I'll get up out of my seat and walk into the living room and forget what I was going to tell the kids. I'll have a great idea. Oh, I have something great to share you. Wait, what was I going to share? And my memory, oftentimes it forgets unless I'm very intentional. And this Christmas season in our culture, it is so easy to forget. You may believe that it's about Jesus. You may want to put him first, but all the other things around, all the distractions, all the pageants you have to participate in, all the white, elephant Christmas parties you have to go to, everything in your work, all the things that are in your personal schedule, it becomes so easy for us to forget unless we're intentional about. And I put this on my wrist so I can remember. And I want to encourage you to do the same. All throughout this month. Listen, when you put this on, just heads up, you can't take it off unless you cut it off. And that's intentional. Because this month is a celebration of God coming to be with us. Let this be a reminder to you. A reminder to spend time in God's Word. To not just celebrate him, but to break bread with him, to be in relationship with him. Let this be a reminder for you to take time to pray and not just talk to God, but to listen to God who is with you. Let this be a reminder that when you're around your friends, to invite them to come to church. All right, listen, do you know that holidays like Easter and Christmas, all the research has been done. People are 7 out of 10 people. Like 74% likely to say yes if you invite them to a Christmas or Easter service. All they need is your invitation. We have the greatest gift, and it's not the PS5, and it's not the new gadget. It's the gift of the presence of God. Let this be a reminder when you're around your friends and your family to invite them. That if you don't have friends and family around you, let it be a reminder that you are part of his family forever. That he so loves you and he's never left you. When you're giving gifts, let it be a reminder to you to also give grace. To not beat up people because they didn't fully appreciate all the time you took to make that bid on eBay for the thing that they wanted. Let it be a reminder that while you're out shopping, to be generous. It's not just about what God has given to you. He gives to us so we can give away. When you see someone in need, just don't think, oh, too bad for them. Let it be a reminder to love and serve them as Christ would. Listen, even if it's something that doesn't have anything to do with Christ this Christmas, as you're taking your elf off of the shelf, let it be a reminder to you to take Jesus off as well. That we're not going to just put him in a box and say, you get 15 minutes on Christmas Eve that I'm going to celebrate. No, it's all about him. Let it be a reminder for you of the reason we can celebrate, the reason why we do all this. Our culture does it for different reasons, but our reason is because God is with us. If you have good enough eyesight, you all can see me pretty clearly right now, right? I mean, made it easy. I'm wearing this really bright red jacket. It's not difficult to keep your eyes and your attention on me. And I want you to do that. Everyone, just look at me right now. Wherever I move, let's see if the camera's having a hard time. Are they still following me? What if I represent your problem? What if I represent your trouble? What if I'm not good for you? When you keep your attention on me, you miss everything else around you. You miss the family around you. You're only focused on what is in front of you. Now, I want you to do this. Would you put that wristband up, put it up in front of your head, and then stare at it for a second. Look my way, but stare at that wristband. What happened to me? I faded out, didn't I? You're not focused on me anymore. I want you to write this final big idea down. When Jesus is the foreground, everything else loses its focus. When Jesus is the foreground, everything else loses its focus. When we decide, I'm going to put Jesus first. He's the first and foremost. I got problems. I got bad reports. I got all these gifts to buy. I got all these things to go to, but Jesus is in front of me. What happens is everything else in the distance fades away. The power that it once possessed loses its power over you. And when we do that, like we said in the beginning, that's when our hope rises. When we do that, that's when our peace is made full. That's when our generosity grows. When Jesus is our focus and our attention, when he is glorious in the highest place, in our first priority, everything else that once had power over your life ceases to have power because he's in focus and the rest of it is faded away. Can I tell you, Satan wants to use something even as Christmas to distract us from what's most important. But as a church, we're going to remember, amen? We're going to put Jesus first, amen? We're going to give him glory in the highest place because he alone is worthy. And when we do that, it pours out of us. The gift of God's presence now pours on to other people. When they ask, why is there something different about you this Christmas? It's not that you're singing, you know, All I Want for Christmas is You. It's not because you're wearing the Santa hat. There's something different. We can point them to the only person who can set them free. Jesus, the Son of God, who's with us, the Savior of the world.
Thank you for listening to the Local Church Podcast. If you enjoyed today's message, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast and review and share what you learned today. You can connect with us at thelocalchurch.com or by searching The Local Church on your favorite social media platforms. We hope you join us next week for a brand new episode. And remember, you matter to God and you matter to us.